ಚೈತನ್ಯಧಾರ ಶಿವ ಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
There are two types of ragatmika bhakti, vaikama and sambandha. Similarly, there are two types of raganuga bhakti, kamanuga and sambandhanuga. Right? In other words, the ragatmika are the ones that they are in that position. This is a very important point, right? Is that ragatmika is, they're performing the kama bhakti and sambandha bhakti, right? But now in here, raganuga is kamanuga and sambandhanuga. Right? This is important to note. So, it's following in the footsteps of that, in the mood of that. So that means the element of, one can say that in sadhana, then we're dealing with raganuga. And when one comes to actual prema, then you're dealing with ragatmika. But at the same time is, you're still following in the footsteps of those who are performing the kama, means the kama and the sambandha. So technically on that platform, even though that mood of rag is the life of your devotion, you're still following those others and doing it. So it still has the element of raganuga. You're following the footsteps of those with rag. Does that make sense? And that, those are, the ragatmika, your rag means following the footsteps of those that are on ragatmika platform. Does that make sense? So you can have both. Because sometimes you see, some will present it that we're always raganuga because we're following those who are on their platform of ragatmika. And some will say that ragatmika starts at prema, so anyone below that is raganuga, anyone from prema and above is ragatmika. Like that. So then it's correct, but at the same time is you're ragatmika, but you're following others who are on a more deeper platform of ragatmika. So what does that mean? You're following their rag. So in other words, you become ragatmika anuga. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like that. So it's just, of the two, kamanuga is stronger and more prominent. In kamanuga, there are also two divisions, sambhogecha mayi and tadbhavecha mayi. In the first, the devotee of Krishna is inclined to give pleasure to Krishna. In the latter, the devotee relishes the sweet relation between Radha and Krishna. Right? I mean, sambhogecha means you want to be with Krishna and you want to be the one that's directly serving him. You understand? And the tadbhavecha mayi, that is, you want to assist those who are giving that direct pleasure to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. The point is Radharani, she being the chit potency, right? Meaning this, or let's say for us, we would use the Swarup Shakti. That means she is the complete energy of Krishna. Right? So whatever moods Krishna has, she has a match for that and a complement to that. So there's no mood of Krishna that she doesn't have a complement for. Does that make sense? So technically speaking, she's the only one that can fulfill Krishna's desires completely. Does that make sense? Because everybody else is her expansion, so there's something less. Perfect, complete, but still less. There are aspects they don't address. Does that make sense? So therefore, that's why he says here, he doesn't say, those who want to give pleasure to Krishna, inclined to give pleasure, and the others who want to serve those who are giving that pleasure. It says, then others, their sweet relation between Radha and Krishna. You know, because the point is if you're going to assist someone else, why wouldn't you assist Radharani? Does that make sense? Because the point is if you give yourself, you know, you're the one that is supposed to be arranging Krishna's happiness, how much can you give as a part and parcel? You know? especially as a jiva, right? Very small. Perfect, but very small. Radharani is unlimited, so that means she can give unlimited pleasure. So now if we assist Radharani, it's unlimited plus, you know, that little bit more. Right? And if we try to give directly, it's that little bit. Does that make sense? So that's why then generally our mood is that of serving, you know, serving those who are making the arrangements for Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Does that make sense? That way then we stay out of the loop of we're trying to directly please Krishna. It doesn't mean you won't be doing some, you know, in physical contact, you know, direct service. You know what I'm saying? In the locative term. Right? But otherwise, in the practical application, we're always an assistant to those who are assisting Srimati Radharani. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
That's our position. That's the way the most pleasure is given to Krishna. That bhakti in which one identifies with devotees of Krishna, who have conventional relationships with Krishna, is called sambandhanuga. In Dwarka, the queen's love is madhurya rasa, based on sambandha. In Braja, only kamanuga madhurya rasa exists. So there is, it's sambandhanuga also means, oh, that was about the kamanuga and sambandhanuga, because he said kamanuga is of the two. So kamanuga means that it will be this based on the desire. That's the prominent element. Sambandhanuga means it's based on, or the kama and sambandha, the kama will be based on the desire, what's favorable to the desire. Right? Sambandha will mean it's based on the relationship. Right? So here he's giving an example in the Madhurya Rasa. The queens of Dwarka, they're Krishna's wives. So their relationship is based on their being his wives. Right? So all the duties and this and interaction, what who should do what and how and where, and all that, and that way then they interact and please Krishna. Does that make sense? Well, in Vrindavan it says, it means, so you do have, so, but in Vrindavan only the kamanuga exists. Because they don't have a conventional relationship. Conventional means wife. Lover is not conventional. Right? So therefore, then it's what enhances that mood. Because technically, they don't have a relationship. Right? The conventional relationship is he's a boy in the village, they're a girl in the village, so they're from the same village, so then they're from the same community. Right? And if they're married, then he's young, so they help Mother Jashoda take care of him, like he's, you know, the child of the community. So he's the favorite child of the Vrindavan community. So as married women, then they also, you know, assist in taking care. Does that make sense? So that's why the gopis, there'll be 14, this is another advantage to this, though. It means, the gopis, they're married when they're 12 years old. Right? So that means from 12, they are considered a mature, upstanding member of the community. Right? Because a girl unmarried is considered, you know, a young girl. As soon as she's married, doesn't matter what the age, she's a member of the community. It's just the way it works. So now that means that 12 or 14 years old, they can be assisting Mother Jashoda taking care of Krishna. Right? Because otherwise, if they're not married, they can't get near Krishna. But now that they're married, they can be right in there, and Mother Jashoda in the afternoon is so worried Krishna's come back from the field and he'll be hungry and everything. She wants to go to the kitchen and see that the food's happening. Right? So that means, what's she going to do? Because it's time for Krishna's bath. So she would give him his bath, but since she's not giving him his bath, she'd want to trust him to other mature women of the community. So who is that? Radharani's maidservants, right? And they're 12 and 14 years old. So she's thinking, these young girls, they're married, they know how to take care of, you know, kids. So Krishna, even though he's 16, he's her kid. Right? And so she goes off, perfectly comfortable. All the other mature gopis, you know, the elder gopis are comfortable. You know, because they may be maybe women, but they're young. They're young women, but they're still women. They're not girls. Does that make sense? So all these things are for rasa, like that. So then they can do all these different, they can do all these things. So they're directly bathing Krishna, pouring water, dressing him and all that. But they're doing that as servants of their, whoever they're working under, serving Radharani. You understand? There's the action itself may be direct, but the mood is never direct. Because here, when we say Raganuga, Vaidhi, we're talking mood. We're not talking the action being done. This is very important. Much of the time we take it and make it external, that Raganuga is different activities than Vaidhi. No, they're exactly the same activities. It's the mood that makes it Rag or Vaidhi. You know what I'm saying? The Shankaras chant Hare Krishna. They want to merge in the Brahman. You know, the Shris and that chant Hare Krishna. They want to go to Vaikuntha. So what's the difference between their chanting Mahamantra and our chanting Mahamantra? It's in the mood. Does that make sense? So that's why all this being brought out, the mood is the most important. That doesn't mean, you know, let the sahajas get into all this bhav and stuff. No, it means what is your attitude? You know? Like that. So, you know, this modern concept that attitude is important, we also agree. But we tend towards this more, you know, shuddha sattva, you know, attitude rather than this, you know, tamasic attitude. You know, the modern attitude, you want to see it in its natural form. You go to Vrindavan and look at the Vrindavan monkeys, not the langurs, you know, the gray ones, sitting on the wall when you go by. Look at them right in their eye and see what they do. And they'll give you attitude. You know, you look at them and they kind of look around here like, you know, they're cool, what are you looking at? You know, like that. Then they'll look back at you again, and if you're still looking at them, then let's cut another. They just cut profiles, what are you looking at? It's exact same attitude that you see, you know, people do. So it's if you want to know where it comes from, it's that. So that's called the mode of ignorance. So we're talking about shuddha sattva, you know, that pure, based on, you know, service to Krishna, that attitude, like that, you know, like Prabhupada, he has that attitude. Right? You know, that's cool. Is it, okay, are we clear on this? Okay. So, the ragami kama and sambandha. So kama is just desire, right? It's just, that's the thing. And then sambandha is based on relationship. Yeah, I'm servant of Krishna, I am friend of Krishna, I am, you know, parent of Krishna, I am wife of Krishna, right? So then it's very, very, very clear like that. But kama means it's based on desire. You know, it's just that mood of expressing affection. That becomes more prominent. It's still done through the medium of what would be your sambandha, relationships. Does that make sense? It's still going to be within the five rasa. But the form of it isn't as important as the expression of the mood of it. Does that make sense? The one is, the mood is proper, and you want to express it through very typical form. You know what I'm saying? But kama means the form is still used, but it becomes secondary to the mood. Does that make sense? It's just like, here, it's like, Your means becoming, how you say, after a journey, then someone's coming, and then, you know, the family is there, right? And somebody's coming that hasn't been seen for a long time, right? And then some younger member of the family, they can just get up and run over there and jump on whoever it is, and everybody will think it's fine. But everybody else is standing around and behaving themselves and shaking hands and patting on back and maybe a few tears and maybe a hug. You know, but it's all much more formal. So that formal, that's the sambandha. That just wild running up there and jumping up, that's the kama. You understand? So the thing is that braj, that's based on that kama. Right? But it's saying but at the same time, as it does have the elements of the sambandha, it's more the relationship and the rules. There's a touch more, but the Madhurya rasa in Vrindavan is only kamanuga. like that. There is no form. Krishna's not married, so there is no there can't be any sambandha, you know, ragatmika bhakti there. He doesn't have a wife, so it has to be in this kama. Does that make sense? Yes. No.
Yes.
Yeah. Any questions on that? Yes.
Maharaj, can we say this kama raga bhakti is more spontaneous?
Because it's, you would say, yeah, it means within raga nuga, which means spontaneous, but that means it's spontaneous. You have the desire and the need. It's not just because of the rules. But within that, then your kama nuga will be more spontaneous than sambandha nuga. Yes. You could say that. Yeah? Okay. Lord Chaitanya taught that the tendencies of the jiva suddenly manifest through the raga nuga process. Lord Chaitanya has approved a worship in the raga mog, raga marg. If a soul by good fortune gets association with devotees who have the mercy of Gauranga, he will certainly become greedy for the mood of the Brajavasis. So it's a matter of you just want to be able to serve in that pure, unalloyed way. But as we discuss, it doesn't change the form. Right, because Bhaktivinoda Thakura is making it very clear what bhakti is, and it's not karma jnana. And then he's already said that, but it's still, it's based on the directions, means in the way of the philosophy, of the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra. Right? So he roots it there very nicely. That is rooted in Shastra. It's very, very nicely. Does that make sense? So the point is you're not going to actually see the difference between the two. Like that. Does that make sense? But as long as he does not have such association, he must practice Vaidhi Bhakti. Just on taking shelter of the lotus feet of Gauranga, he enters the path of Raga. Right? It's the path of Raga, technically, but at the same time, yeah. In other words, if he's serving, means, those who are serving Lord Chaitanya are on the Raga Nuga path. But whether your mentality is that of Raga Nuga or not, that's another thing. So we may have the mentality of Vaidhi, so we work that way. But with time, then it develops. But those who are not serving Lord Chaitanya, then basically speaking, it will always be Vaidhi. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So even these other lines that worship Radha and Krishna, still it's through an established relationship. Or even if it's Radha and Krishna in the kunjas, still it's very formal how it's put together. Very exacting in how they put it together. So it will still very much more follow a form. But those who have Lord Chaitanya, then it's the path of Raga, but whether you understand it or not, that's another thing. You know what I'm saying? Someone's born in a certain community, they are a member of that community, but they're not technically a practicing member of that community. You understand? Because they're not adult. Once they've been trained and everything, then they become adult in that community. Does that make sense? Like the child is not leading and doing all the things. They're just by association taking part. But the adults, they're the ones that actually makes that community work. Right? Does this make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah. So in the same way as then in the rag, is we're on that path, but it doesn't mean that we function according to that. Right? Just like we worship Radha and Krishna, but technically speaking, we're worshiping Lakshmi and Narayan. Right? You understand? Standing there is Radha and Krishna, but we deal with them as if they're Lakshmi and Narayan. Therefore, they reciprocate with us as Lakshmi Narayan. Same people. Right? Does that make sense? Because we're doing it, we're there at Mangal Arati offering that arati because we're supposed to be. And we're going through, you know, you say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, are the prominent mood. Right? So they, but as the mood is that this is Radha and Krishna, then even though the same form of artic will be there, the mood changes. Does that make sense? Prabhupada's offering Artik to Radha and Krishna. You know, but when we stand same place, we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. Because of our mood, Krishna says, as you surrender, I reciprocate. So when Prabhupada says, we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, that's because our mood is that of, we're following the rules. But that's where you start. You know, so it's not bad, but that's where you have to start. Right? Does that make sense? You start learning to drive a car, you have this nice big L on the back of your car, right? You know, probably on the front, maybe even on the top, you know, depending on how much they're worried about it. But the point is, you know, you can say, well, that's bad, but that's where everybody starts. You know? You know, you're not going to become a lecturer at the university because you went through first grade, you know, mathematics. But that's where every mathematician started. You know, Einstein also started with, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. So that's the point, is everybody starts there. So it's not, oh, that's bad. No, it's only a matter of this is where you start, then you move forward. Is this okay? Those eager for the path of spontaneous attraction first practice Raghunuga Bhakti. In practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, the person quickly develops an extremely high qualification. On attaining greed for the mood of the Brajabasis, no other attraction remains. When that greed arises, the practitioner immediately becomes completely disinterested in sinful action, piety, social duty, neglect of duty, forbidden actions, speculation, and dry renunciation. So here, sinful action, okay, that's natural, because, you know, what are you going to get? It's not pleasing to Krishna, there's nothing there, so that's not. Piety also, good works, being nice, be good, you know, all that, that also loses its interest. Social duty means what it is you're obliged to do it socially because you want to do those things because what you'll get from that. Does that make sense? Neglect of duty. But at the same time, while that's balanced there, social duty, neglect of duty, you're not attached to not doing your duty either. You don't have a need for that, but if there's a need for doing, I mean, if it's expected that you're going to do that activity, it's done. Right? You don't have a need for it, therefore that's not your motive. But at the same time, is you don't have the repulsion for it, so it's not that you can't do it. Does that make sense? Forbidden actions, so things that are, you know, you're not supposed to do. But that means it's not that it's sinful, it just means the ones that aren't your actions to perform. You know, in other words, you can properly perform the duties. Speculation, because you're grounded in the culture, in the religious functions, so there won't be any speculation. And dry renunciation, you know, there's no need to give up something just to give it up. Right? That's not the problem. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Now, me, verse. Yadav Shraddha. Quote, translation. In beginning, there must be faith. When one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees, then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Thereafter, one is initiated by the spiritual master and executes the regular principles under his orders. Thus, one is freed from all wanted habits and becomes firmly fixed in devotional service. So we see that here is that if you have faith, you take up association with devotees. Right? In that association, you get initiated, practice devotional service. That frees you from material, you know, anartas, and situates yourself in devotional service. That's why sometimes you see when they're describing the Shraddha Prema, they take Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivritti and Nishta and basically make them into one. Because they are one thing, just it's a matter of Bhajana Kriya is Anishta Bhajana Kriya or Nishta Bhajana Kriya. So when you start, it's Anishta. And then by practice, you become purified, it becomes Nishta. So Nishta Bhajana Kriya is actually what you're trying to get to. Right, but from Shraddha you'll associate with devotees. Right, if there's no faith, you don't associate. That's it. Thereafter, one develops taste and attachment. Right, this is the way of sadhana bhakti. the execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles. Gradually, emotions intensify, and finally, there is an awakening of love. This is the gradual development of love of Godhead for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Purvi Bhag Prema Bhakti Lahiri 11. So, you see here is that up to attachment, then he's identifying this as sadhana bhakti. Then after that, then the bhava then brings to prema. So if you get taste, you will get attachment. So we see if there's faith, you'll take up association. Right? If that's in place, then initiation is there. Then practice of that until one becomes steady in devotional service. So that's another group. Then you see if there's taste, that'll get attachment. Right? If there's attraction, right? It means if Prajumna is there, it will move naturally to Aniruddha. Right? By contemplation, it'll go. So if there's taste, that deepens, it becomes attachment. Right? So that's all your sadhana. Right? Then when that attachment intensifies, that's bhava. And that bhava then leads to prema. So you see how he's split these up very nicely? You know, they're grouped like that. In the Vaidhi Bhakti process, following this gradual method, attainment of bhava takes a long time. However, if greed for the mood of the Brajabasis develops, this material desires are quickly destroyed since no other desires have a place. Along with greed for Krishna, simultaneously arises bhava. So he's saying here, what? Yes?
Taste and attachment.
Yeah.
So what is the further progression?
No, that was just an example to show that you understand how if there's an interest in something, then one becomes attached to it. That was the point that was being made there. Like that. Because then the point is from that it's going to move back into the other, so then it's position. So it changes there. We were just showing it because to show how taste and attachment go together. You know? There's an interest in something or excitement about something, then if that continues, it will develop an attachment. Right? You know, you get something's new there, you get interested in it, so by associating with that, then you get attached that you have to have that. So that's what I'm saying, is these two to go together. So we see the Shraddha and Sadhusanga go together, then the Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivriti, Nishta go together, then Ruchi and Asakti go together, and then Bhava and Prema. That makes sense? Just showing how one then, what are the stage, what means, from there then it's another stage. In other words, if you have faith, you associate with devotees. So that's then there. Now when that takes a serious step, then you actually surrender the process, take initiation and practice it. So that comes to the point of where you're actually fixed in Krishna consciousness. Right? So being fixed, then the next major stage is that you get a taste actually for chanting the holy name, which then will then develop into attachment. Right? So that's the perfection of that. In other words, the perfection of faith is sadhusanga. The perfection of bhajana kriya is nishta. The perfection of ruchi is asakti. Right? Does that make sense? And then the perfection of bhava is prema. But the point is sadhusanga gives rise to the whole process of bhajana kriya, which goes with there. Because you're fixed and there's nothing else so interesting, you get a taste for spiritual rather than material. Right? And because of that attachment, that gives rise to, that deepens, then you actually, the attachment is so great, then you get, then ecstasy comes. Does that make sense? So they're kind of like natural steps. It means from that, touching on that, then there's Vasudeva. But the point is when from the performance of Vasudeva, then it comes to you've gotten the result, Aniruddha, that Aniruddha moves back to the Prajumna. Because anything that is a goal always goes back to Sambandha, but not the experience. It means the happiness gained from that remains in that position. Or the happiness of, means the experience of performance of the activity, that remains in that position. But performing the activity will get a result. So that's what moves to the other.
But
Bhava
is not
a
rule, right?
No, prema is not a
rule.
Bhava is not sadhya. Prema is sadhya. You know what I'm saying? You can say it's sadhya in the way of that you're not conditioned, you're on the transcendental platform. You have obtained to your position, natural position, serving Krishna. But that's the sambandha of it. Unless your attitude is completely adjusted, then your performance of activities within bhava doesn't come to prema. You know what I'm saying? You're in Braj, you have your spiritual form, you have your services to do, but until you develop that right attitude of that total attachment to Krishna, right, then it's not going to develop into prema. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It means looking at it from here, bhava is you could say, is a sadhya. But once you get there, it's not. Just like, yeah, I want to go to the temple, so the first thing is, get out of the building, find my shoes. Once you've got that, then you can start walking the temple.
Can you say that bhava is an experience? It touches the vessel there.
It's there, that is there.
Then it comes to sambandha because bhava becomes our basis for the moving forward.
But you don't use this, you're not, see, you have to know, it's just like this. If you want to peel a potato, what do you use?
No.
Okay, let's say you want to grate the potato, what do you use?
No.
Grate. You know grater?
No.
Grater is the one that makes it into little thin little pieces, like you want to make one of those plotskis. You make that.
You can use knives.
Very difficult. Huh? Okay, so that's the point, is you have to use the correct formula. Everything is the Vastutraya. Everything sambandha abhideya prayoja. But which aspect you use, whether you're looking at it from 2, 3, 4, you know, like that, which aspect that you're using, that's what's important to note. So in this case, that's not the one that we're using. We're not discussing it in that way. So it means you probably can take this in my contemplation, work out these things, but that's not what we're discussing right now. So that's why I'm saying it's not the appropriate formula to use. I only used it only in as much to show that the interest moves to attachment. Just like in Gita, it says, by contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. It only mentions those two. It doesn't go through that whole process. So because of that, then is there. So then what are you going to do? From that, then you're going to perform activity. What activity are you going to perform? That's bhava sadhana. Right? And from the result of bhava sadhana, then comes prema. So in that way you can take the thinking, feeling, willing, and then from there back to the sambandha. You can take that will work better for you. You know, maybe I should have in this case used thinking and feeling. Right? If you think about something, then the feeling for it develops. Right? Because then that gives rise to the abhideya. Okay? So you have to be able to catch which one we're using, because we may use the terms more freely. Is that okay? Okay, now, having said that, they're saying if you develop that greed, then this whole process moves very, very dynamically. Right? But now he makes the next statement. On the path of rag, however, it is necessary to avoid imitation or deception. If that occurs, it produces disturbance and obstacles. Though the person may think that his corrupted bhakti is real rag, or his corrupted rag is real rag, finally, material association turns that rag into material attraction and causes fall down of the jiva. The devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after having developed real greed, practices Raganuga Bhakti, following the same rules as Vaidhi Bhakti. Right? The devotee takes shelter of genuine guru, serves the deity, takes Vaishnava association, studies the devotional literature, lives in a place of the Lord's pastimes, and chants the holy name. Along with this, the devotee serves Krishna in an intense mood of love in a spiritual form, siddha deha, following the sentiments of the Brajavasis. Right? So, in other words, he's saying here is that it still is the same practice, but he following the same rules as Vaidhi. He makes that very clear. In other words, he's following Vaidhi Bhakti. He takes shelter of the guru, and then you see it's the five main points of devotional service are what's prominent for him. Right? So that's his focus. So he's seeing all the others in relation to these five. Right? Because for us, that's easy to do, because most of our day and everything we do is connected with deity worship. So most of the items are connected there, but that becomes the central feature. Serving the guru in these five points. Does that make sense? So it's just the perspective. You're looking more at all the little rules, that'll be more the Vaidhi. But the rag includes them. It's just a matter of which way you're looking at it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right. So he's very like that. Then at that point, when you come to the platform of Bhava, then this last sentence has some meaning. Tense mood of love in a spiritual form, siddhadeha, following the sentiments of the Brajabhasis. So in other words, he's given the two levels here, just as in the Adau Shraddha verses. He takes it up to Asakti and then explains, this is Vaidhi. I mean, this is Sadhana Bhakti. Then he goes on to Bhava and Prema. So in the same way here, is he's giving what you're doing from Shraddha up to Asakti, that you're following the same rules as Vaidhi Bhakti, taking shelter of the Guru, performing those five items. Then when you come from that, following that, you come to the level of Bhava. In Bhava, then you're following in the Siddhadeha. Does that make sense? But short of that, you don't bother with that aspect. Okay? So people who offer that very easily means they're not, then they are what is in the previous paragraph described, the corrupted raga. Right? So that's imitation or deception. Does that make sense? It's because it's a natural position. You are there.
Does that mean that up to Asakti we follow the spiritual master, and then from Brahma onwards we follow the eternal associate? Because we always have an.
That would be like saying, before Bhava, I worship Krishna, and after I get to Bhava, I don't worship Krishna. I worship the son of Nand Maharaj. Does that make sense? It's like this. Why would Krishna be interested in you if you don't approach him through his devotees? Right?
But you do if you follow, like...
And how will they accept you? It's the same principle. So... Krishna is not going to accept you unless you're the devotee of his devotee.
That means your spiritual master is also in the past and like that.
The point is the spiritual master is representing Krishna, who's the Adi Guru. Mm. Right? So the principle of you following your guru is always there. Does that make sense? So there's never a time when he's not involved in the equation. You leave him out of the equation, you do not get into, one, you don't get into the spiritual world, but definitely won't get into Braj. Because you will not be considered loyal enough. Right?
It was not that I wanted to become better, but I just thought that the spiritual master, at one time, he just passes you on to the...
He passes you on, but who are you still?
With him.
It's just like, let's say you're at your father's house and your father decides the family's going to go visit his father. So when you go in, then when the grandfather comes out, then your father like pushes you on the back, you know, go hug your grandfather. Right? Does that mean now he's not your father anymore and the relationship is not there? Why is the grandfather? Because you're the son of his son. You never have a direct relationship. You can physically interact directly with your grandfather, but you do not have a direct relationship with him. Your relationship with your grandfather is the son of his son. That's the way it is. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was saying before, is that the association. So there are some who want to get more close and be more direct. You can never actually be direct. It means in mood. You can be direct in service. Anybody can serve, offer Krishna Samudraya, like here. Now you go up, and who does the offering to the deity? Who's physically doing the offering? You or your spiritual master? You're doing. But at the same time, it's why is the deity accepting that? Because of the spiritual master, because you're his servant. So the mood, you are never direct. You're always the servant of the servant of the servant. But in actual activity, you can directly offer service. You understand? We have to be able to discern. That's why it's being mentioned, the difference between action and mood. Right? It's very, very important because it functions all the way through, from the top to the bottom. Any principle of the Vedic literature starts in Radha Krishna's pastimes and ends down here in the middle, you know, in the material world, you know, on the streets. You know what I'm saying? But it's the same. It's the same mood. The same principles, excuse me. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why you can get these principles from these literatures. Mahabharata mentions so much about the culture. We'll say, oh, well, that's Mahabharata. But no, it's the same thing. It's just being applied in that situation. But it's still the same thing. If you can't distinguish between the work and the mood, how do you distinguish about do your activity without attachment? Right? So that means then you can't get to Bhagavad Gita. If you can't get to Bhagavad Gita, you're not going to get to Bhagavatam. You know. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so it ends here. So then today is Monday. So tomorrow we'll start with the chanting.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premarani. This idea, you know, our Prabhupada says in the Bhakti Shastri, is studying the first part of Nectar Devotion. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur says here, for fear of enlarging the book, I have made a summary study of sadhana bhakti. Those who have desire to know more about this can study the Purva Vibhag, or the first part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So whatever Prabhupada does, he gets it from the acharyas.
Great
grandfather's making it sweet. Yeah. No, it's good. Because it probably mentioned using this book. Mm-hmm. And, it says the other books, whatever knowledge is there, is contained in the Jiva Dharma. Like that. We don't know what's all there. So we might use technical parts from some of them. We might use some technical things from them. So.
Yeah. We've got some news from Britta. He'll be here in a couple of days.
Okay.
And the architect and the workers are coming up on the 7th.
The 7th. Okay, great.
2 weeks or more solid work.
Great, great. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
We're going to struggle to find the workers.
Yeah. No, but as long as you get to, you know, we understand things happen. But same time, it's a little bit more careful. Mm-hmm. Not that we're planning on making many more samadhis, but we're not going to put out we're not going to open a business that we know you need a samadhi, we'll arrange it for you.
Right. We're going to avoid that one. he doesn't.